needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would normally would say good evening, but it's good morning here. Welcome to Rant EM Radio's post-game coverage, post-show coverage of Ring of Honor's Best in the World. I am your host tonight, Phil Rea from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Very, very, very exhausted, but well worth the wait. Ring of Honor tonight having their Best in the World pay-per-view originating from my hometown in New York City, and it was a fantastic card, to say the least. I want to thank my buddy Chris Espo for coming through, formerly of Tattoos and Touchdowns. Always a good time with Chris. I want to apologize for not calling into the pre-show. I was still, like, on my way home from work. I couldn't even, like, motivate at this point. But I'm going to muscle up the strength, and I know the Rant and Wrestling guys did the pre-show. They did a fantastic job on that. And I think I have to bring them on, so give me 1 second. All right, let's see what's going on with that. See if I can get that through. Guys, we're not taking any other calls at this time. Mofo, you there, hey. Brother?
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just finished watching pay-per-view, so.
Is the crew with you or no?
No, it's just me tonight.
That's cool, All right. So, yeah, man, you guys did the pre-show. Good stuff.
Thank you.
I tried to call in. I have a really crappy commute from my job to where I live, so I wasn't able to. And by the time I got home, it was almost time to roll, so.
No worries.
All right, man. So, listen, not bad tonight. You know, I thought it was a solid card, you know. Mm-hmm. The problem, I mean, I'll get to the main event, obviously, but I feel like they're getting more story-driven, which I like. It's not just throwing the guys in the ring, doing a bunch of spots, people marking out and going crazy, and then it's a done deal. I think it's getting more story-driven. The characters are a lot deeper, I feel like, in the last couple of months anyway, mm-hmm. and I really, really enjoyed the card tonight more than usual. So,
I agree. I think it's the thing of, I say on our show a lot of times, it's the difference between having a TV company, which is what it looks like they're being, and an internet company, which is what they were before. The great matches aren't selling it. The only thing is, I don't know how deep their roster is to do all that, but yeah, I agree with you. They're a lot more storyline driven nowadays than what Ring of Honor used to be. Even as much as 5 years ago.
Yeah, and I'm hoping this whole Destination America thing is a sign that they are going to keep to this format for a little while and start building these guys up. Because, I mean, it's a good thing, man. They have a good thing. I mean, they've had a good thing for quite some time. But now the cat's out of the bag. You're getting a bit more exposure now. So I guess you have to, you know, switch your game up a bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, really solid. It was, again, always a good time when they come to New York. And the first match opening up was Donovan Dijak with Truth Martini taking on Mark Briscoe with ODB. No code of honor here, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, Briscoe gets powered down, tries to avoid the lockup. Mark flips out of the back body drop, attempts to score the Russian leg sweep, and gets a one count, of course. And then Dijak answers with the suplex slam that sends Briscoe all the way across the ring. I forgot that dude's six foot.
God.
I forgot he's 6 foot seven, man.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds
me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, he's a monster of a man. I've seen him a couple times in Philly when I traveled up there. He's a huge dude. A huge dude to look at up front. And I mean, I've never seen like Big Show or Kane or any of those guys up close and personal. But this dude's just a big, big man. Like he blocks you. Trust me, he makes a better door than he does a window. Let's put it that way.
He reminds me of a very young Sean O'Hare.
Mm-hmm.
Just tall, lanky, can move like really. And the agility is amazing on this guy. And
oh, yeah.
He hits that, you know, of course, he hits that Jeff Hardy drop. Like I call it the Jeff Hardy drop kick, that
mm-hmm.
corner drop kick. He hits that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hits the, like that. Before he power slams Briscoe over the top rope, it looked brutal. He gets back.
Oh,
inside. Yeah. And then he gets the two count. Briscoe then comes back with the rope drop kick, then a nice mule kick. He's still hurting from that big spot, though, outside the ring. But, you know, Redneck Kung Fu comes back, man. Picks up.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
you got to love seeing it, too.
I love it. I love Redneck Kung Fu. I'm a big Briscoe mark, so anytime they come out, anytime I get to see him live, too, it's a treat for me.
Since day one, man. Briscoe's have been one of my favorite teams, man, since 2001. Or so when I first saw them in Ring of Honor. So, yeah, definitely.
See, I didn't pick it up until 06, so I had to catch up on the other stuff. But,
amazing.
Yeah, no, I caught up. You know, I think my first Ring of Honor match was Final Battle 6, which I believe was Bryan Danielson fought. Did he fight? Who did he fight?
Morishima,
that's it, yeah. That was my first Ring of Honor card.
Oh, you got lucky then.
I got real lucky.
Yeah, go out of the way. If anybody's listening and they want to go out of your way to see that match, I've seen it. It's a 5-star match. I mean, I don't like match ratings, but that's one of my favorite matches ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So so now they go to the outside. Truth Martini tries to get involved. ODB catches him. Tears up the Book of Truth.
Oh.
Throws
blasphemy.
Yeah. What is this? What is this tomfoolery? ripping up the Book of Truth. What kind of shit is that?
Right. The shenanigans are out.
Man, it's crazy talk right there. So they rips up the Book of Truth. Mark lands the blockbuster on the floor, which doesn't do his back any good. And then Dijak gets the big body press, gets the two again. He gets the feast your eyes. But it didn't look like it. Looked like a kind of botch a little bit. And then, of course, Briscoe hits a brainbuster and the froggy bow for the win. And then, you know, not a bad opening match.
No, not at all. I'm actually surprised they made this an opening match. And, I mean, I know why. Because everyone in New York loves the Briscoes. So they are a team that, you know, Mark Briscoe goes out there. He's going to get the crowd hyped up. I'm actually surprised. That I'm actually very, very, very surprised that they had Mark win this one. I thought they were going to kind of elevate Dijak, especially. I mean, we'll talk about what happened later in the night, but you know, I'm surprised he won. And I mean, it was a good surprise because I was hoping. The only thing I could say about this match that was disappointing me a little bit. I was hoping ODB would get her hands on Truth Martini, not just rip up the Book of Truth, but. You know, fourth opening match is a very good opening match. I thought these guys would deliver, so I'm actually really pleased.
I'm going to sound biased for about 30 seconds, but the New York crowd tonight was absolutely amazing.
Oh yeah, they were on their feet, man. They were. I mean, and the thing is, they came out ready, prepared, and you know, I've been up there before in New York for the New Japan show last year, and that crowd definitely gets. I don't know if you were there or not, but Terminal 5, it looked like even though there were less people, it seemed like people were enjoying themselves more because there wasn't the grumbles and the complaining that were there with Final Battle when people got there and couldn't see stuff and couldn't. So it looked like everybody had a good time. Definitely
the last time I was at Terminal 5 was at a Chikara show. And one of my buddies was here tonight, and he's watching the show with me, and he said to me, he goes, the place doesn't look right. And I said, it's a very intimate spot, if you've been there. I said, the more you go there, the more they fix the place up. It's almost like ECW when I used to go to the arena. It was a shit show, and then by 1998, it was like they covered the bingo thing, and they painted, and they added more seats to it, you know? But it still had that intimate feel to it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. And I went to 2300 Arena. That's where I saw Dijak earlier this year in January. I was just there for the New Japan shows. And that was the first time Lee's actually been there. And I showed him the mural and the bathroom and everything. But I talked to one of the locals up there, and he was telling me, he's like, now it just looks like a completely different place.
It's totally different, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, it looks nothing like it did when it was in ECW, and I was actually really surprised.
But, yeah, I took my stepson to Philly last year for, you know, just cause my family's never been, my wife, my son, and we drove past that, the gates were down, but I was showing him all the pictures that we had and stuff, and I was like, you know what, this was a good place, and it reminds me, because I took him to Chikara's, it reminds me of the Chikara place. I like that feel. You know, even the Manhattan Center has it's a bit bigger, but I like that intimate setting. Like, I like the Elks Lodge setting. I like that kind of setting because it's not big, but it's not small either. It's just big enough to where if you have a good hot crowd, it's gonna eat the whole thing up. And I think this is what will happen tonight.
Right.
All right. Yes. So your next match. I'm sorry. Did I cut you off? I'm sorry.
No. You're fine. You're fine. You're good.
ACH and Matt Sydal taking on the Decade with Colby Carino. I tell you what, the more that the Decade pisses off Steve Carino, the more excited I get about him eventually getting in the ring with his kid, which is probably going to wind up happening. So Whitmer kicks ACH out of a knuckle lock. ACH drop kicks him. ACH is just an amazing talent. If anybody has ever get a chance to see him live, please do. He's just a... The man is awesome. I words can't describe. I love the guy. I think he's fantastic. ACH drop kicks him off and shows off, and then he tags in Paige. Paige hits a cheap shot and then runs away. Sydal comes in, and Sydal's got that fucking hipster beard going on now. He looks like a fucking
looks like they caught him. They looked at him in the back and they said, "Hey man, you done?" He's like, "Just one more, and I'll be right out."
Yeah, just one more. Let me get a PBR and a flannel, and I'll be out in a minute. Oh, the fucking hipsters are taking over. So now Sydal, gentrification in effect, comes in, ends up getting double teamed by the Decade. Hits a big knee drop, gets the hot tag. I love the hot tags in Ring of Honor because that means there's gonna be more spots, which is exactly what happened because ACH comes in. Gets a two on a Hurricanrana to Whitmer. I don't like Whitmer as a heel, but I'll get into that on another podcast. But Whitmer then landing his spinning flatliner. I love the spinning flatliner, by the way. Then he hits the power slam. The crowd starts chanting BJ Wiener. Paige comes in, lands a nice pump handle three quarter Nelson suplex. I had to write that twice because I fucking messed up the spelling on it. For two tags. Tags in Whitmer. Ref gets distracted. Paige hits the shooting star shoulder block that made no sense.
Oh, man. He had to sell it. I think the worst part about it was that they showed a replay of it.
Yeah. That's when you knew it just didn't look right. You know?
Yeah.
It just didn't look right. One second. I just lost my thing here. Oh, it's too late. All right. So ACH then hits the Enziguri and Sydal makes the tag. Sydal cleans house, getting off a standing moonsault before Whitmer breaks it up. Whitmer gets field goal outside by ACH, which is pretty cool. And then Sydal lands the shooting star press. Colby Carino comes and pulls Paige out, and ACH hits the crash and burn on Paige and Carino. Whitmer grabs ACH, allowing Paige to hit the rite of passage for the win. Again, them taunting Carino, Steve Carino at ringside. It's gonna happen, right? And then I know Steve Carino is a little old in the tooth. He actually got me beat by a year or two, but I like to see him get back in the ring and kick some little ass because I was a big Steve Carino fan back in the day. Of course, now Ring of Honor announces that the King the king of the strong style, Mr. Nakamura, and Kushida and the Rainmaker Okada are coming to the company in August for two dates, one in Philly, one right here in my hometown of Brooklyn, New York for Field of Honor. I was at last year's Field of Honor with our buddy Rage. Rage and I had a great time, and they put on a good show in MCU Park. And last year was actually a cage match with Lethal and Matt Taven. So I'm sure this is going to be the New Japan guys are going to come correct. And I love when the New Japan guys come because I think it's a good sequence, and I think it's a good contrast to styles. I think American wrestling fans need to watch more Strong Style to get acquainted with good wrestling, solid wrestling, you know?
Absolutely, and they're going to do this also. I mean, Philly's always a hotbed, so that's going to be a big show to begin with, but they're going to do this on, I think the show in Brooklyn is actually on SummerSlam weekend.
Yes, it is. It's day before SummerSlam.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be huge for them, especially if they can get some. SummerSlam is the number two pay-per-view, I think, or maybe number three, depending on how you, you know, rank for a Rumble, but to me, SummerSlam is that to bring that crowd in. It's not as many travelers as WrestleMania brings, but if you can get 50% of that audience hooked onto it with a Nakamura or an Okada, who's my favorite New Japan wrestler, and a Kushida, that's really good. And these guys are going to have great matches, and they're probably going to fill up the card up and down on top of that. I'm really excited to see these guys come back, and especially Okada. I always tell myself, I told myself last time that, oh, man, Okada, I'm not sure if I'm going to want to see him again. I hear the name, and I'm like, man, I got to get up there to see him. So
yeah,
I'm really excited about these guys coming in.
They drew about 1,000 people, and the place holds, I want to say, almost 10, maybe between 6,000 and 10,000. It's not a big place. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going here on Wednesday with the family. Mm-hmm. We're big baseball fans here in the Ray household. But yeah, they didn't draw a lot, but I think you have a really, really good point about SummerSlam weekend. Because then Raw is going to be at the Barclay right after SummerSlam. So, I mean, it's going to be a really solid weekend for wrestling. So, I hope, and they'll draw. So, I'll definitely be in the house for that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say absolutely. And, Phil, don't worry about being a baseball fan. We'll put our differences aside tonight because I'm sure you're a Yankees fan and I'm an O's fan. So.
I am a diehard Mets fan, my friend.
Oh, Mets fan. Okay. Good with me.
I was actually in your neck of the woods last summer for vacation. I saw O's, and I've been to Camden Yards 3 times, and I saw O's. Last time I saw O's and the A's, and I told my family, this is what a playoff stadium looks like.
Yeah. Very good.
Dude, they honestly, not to steer away, but they need one more pitcher. That's pretty much all they need. All they need.
Yeah. We need one more pitcher and one more hitter, but I'm going to digress. We could definitely have a that's a big conversation for another day. Trust me.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I'm big in it. I'm big in it. They need one more pitcher. Yeah. All right. I like Dalton Castle. You guys mentioned him on the pre-show. I like everything about this dude. If Johnny B. Bad and Fandango had a love child, it's Dalton Castle. You know, I love his boys. They make it. I like that he walks on them, uses them for a chair. I think it's fantastic. Of course, Silas Young is a badass. He looks like Magnum TA with an attitude. And Silas Young has come a long way. I think for him, I think his matches get progressively better. And he's kind of over, you know, they don't like him, but they like him, that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like he's got that love hate shit going on with the crowd. And I love that. And tonight was no different. No code of honor here. Young gets sent out early, gets back in, arm drags, headbutts, you know, back and forth. Not too bad. But Young hits a big, big backbreaker and then a clothesline for a quick two. Lot of spots tonight. Young follows up with the second rope break rake of all things, and he gets that chin lock going on. Castle sunset flips him, but can't get him over. So the boys start fanning him to get him over. Castle pulls Young's pants down and spanks him on before landing a nice overhead suplex. That's the thing, man. You get that humor. That it's like that Colt Cabana feel to it. And then Colt Cabana makes you laugh, and then he drops you on your face. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's got that Colt Cabana feel to him.
And the thing is that with Dalton Castle, and I think a lot of people, they look on the outside looking in at Ring of Honor and go, oh, this is a serious wrestling company. Every guy looks the same. Every guy's going to do this. You're going to get some. Every guy's going to be a 30-minute match who's going to be, you know, back and forth and everything. But they have a lot of characters. Like you said, I mean, Silas is as old-school heel as you can get. Like, I mean, he looks like Magnum TA, but he reminds you of Tully Blanchard and Kevin Sullivan. Yep. Those guys, just no redeeming good qualities about them. Like, there's nothing you can like about them.
Right.
And Dalton Castle, I mean, like you said, you know, just the humor involved and the effeminism and, you know, the entrance and everything that comes with it. It's amazing. So, you know, it was a good contrast to Styles. I actually enjoyed this match a lot. I thought it was going to be a lot more silly, but I thought they put in the right amount of comedy. They put in the right amount of seriousness. We haven't gotten to the ending yet. I loved the ending even too. So, this was a really good match. Probably my fourth favorite match on the card, maybe, outside of the big main event.
And I totally agree with you. I think it had the right length of comedy, and it still had that feel to it. And the crowd was so into it. And I think that's what other feds are missing. You're losing that crowd. You can't lose the crowd. The crowd is the money, man. You know what I'm saying? And as an older wrestling fan, I feel like it loses that with these bigger shows. You know, when you go to a house show now for WWE, it's like, it's not. When I was a kid, the Garden would shake, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Coliseum would shake. The Meadowlands would shake under my feet. The gymnasiums that did the little shows in my own neighborhood, shake. When you guys had the Civic Center growing up, I'm sure that place rocked when Flair and Luger got in there and Sting and all those other cats from the old NWA days. You know what I'm saying? That it doesn't have that feel anymore, you know?
I'm with you. I mean, and the thing is that I don't know if it's the cynicism of the internet or whatever the case may be, but, you know, I remember what Eric Bischoff says, and I know people don't like Eric Bischoff's opinions and everything, but he says to me, you know, wrestling almost is like a three-ring circus. You know, you may not go to see the Lions, but you know the Lions are there, and you may not go to see the Trapeze Artists, but you know they're there. And, I mean, I think a lot of these companies, you know, either they overdo it all the time. Like, you know, WWE just gets too silly sometimes. Like, they do the comedy, and it sounds so forced, and, you know, it just sounds like, you know, you're not really having a good time, and you just drags and drags and drags. Or TNA, like, they all have shows where it's strictly seriousness, and it just gets, you get down on it. Like, it was just, Ring of Honor seems to get it. They seem to know that we have guys who are going to make the crowd laugh. We have guys who are going to make the crowd, you know, cheer, like Cheeseburger did with Mikey Whipwreck was back in the day. And we're going to have guys that, you know, like Roderick Strong and everything, who are going to just go, and people know that they're going to get a good match out of them. And they seem to get it. I don't, you know, I'm really, really, this is why they're my favorite company right now. Yeah. Out there, because they seem to get that perfect mix of, you know, I'm going to see a Dalton Castle, but I'm also going to see a Jay Briscoe. You know, I'm going to see a Moose, but I'm also going to see a Donovan Dijak. I'm going to see all this eclectic wrestling, and there's something for everybody on there no matter what.
Absolutely, and I think NXT is that crowd it gets it, and I think it's almost that same kind of vibe, and I like that. You know, I like this. I like the smaller places, man. I like it. I dig it. So Young gets the game. Young finally gets his advantage back. He comes in, DDT's Castle into the bottom turnbuckle for the win. But one second here, let me get my notes here. So where is it? One second. So not the win. I'm sorry. I meant to read. I was reading something else. Okay. Back and forth on the apron. Here we go. So Young goes up on the top rope, but then Young goes to the top rope and then gets crotched, and then goes for the pin, but the ref won't count since he cheated. While they're arguing, Castle hits a low blow and rolls up Young for the win. So Dalton Castle wins via pinfall with a low blow, and then Young hits Misery on one of Castle's boys, his fanboys, and runs off, and the crowd is crazy hot at this point. Crazy hot. The next match, you kind of knew this was coming. You guys actually spoke upon it a little bit during the pre-show with CNC taking on the War Machine. I'm glad War Machines back together. I know the one guy was out for a while with that bike accident. I'm glad those guys are back as a team. Not that I didn't mind the other guy by himself, but I think the team is really good. I love CNC Wrestle Factory, though. But you kind of knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point in the match, Caprice Coleman accidentally kicks Cedric and War Machine double team him. So Coleman gets the fight back, but eats a cartwheel clothesline from Hansen. That was a great move. I love that cartwheel clothesline.
Oh, yeah.
He knocks Cedric off the apron, and War Machine hits an insane combination of an AA into a backbreaker, then a gutbuster into a gut wrench powerbomb for a two count, which I hate that shit. The guy should be dead at this point. But again, you know, for my 7-year-old who'll see this on Sunday, 8-year-old on Sunday, he's going to love it. Cedric grabs the wrench. He used to beat Moose, but Capri sees it, and he doesn't like it. And then the fallout, and beats Coleman. And then, of course, War Machine get the pinfall. But now Cedric has the wrench, puts it away, simply tells Coleman that they're done as a team, and walks off. And
Capri Coleman, I don't think anybody believed that he was going to win in this match, but kudos to him. He just took the Ricky Morton beating without being with Robert Gibson leaving at the same time. Like,
he
just got destroyed in this match.
Yeah.
All around, big move after big move, and it was crazy. When Cedric had the wrench and he was about to hit him, I actually kind of liked the fact that he didn't hit him. And it makes it look a little bit more real. It didn't look a little bit more like a wrestling promo. It looked kind of like, you know, look, I just can't do this anymore. It's not you, it's me. I know you're going to try to help, but I don't want your help.
Sounds like a relationship I was in. You know, oh, it's not you, it's me. I hate when the girls tell
you.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Same thing. It wasn't like we're used to. But that's one of the cool things about it. It's not one of those wrestling promos where, you know, he hits him with a wrench and now he's got a feud with him. It's like we said on the pre-show, he doesn't get anything for feuding with Caprice Coleman, but, you know, for him to just be like, look, we're done, you know, we tried this, it didn't work before, it's not going to work now, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's really different rather than just being like, you know, and many, like, how wrestling companies have done it for 50 years.
The old Orndorff and Hogan arms raising into a clothesline and
exactly. You know, I'm fine. I'm leaving the ring. No, I'm not. I'm hitting you up. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. But you saw it though. You saw it. Cedric has been a little shady lately. A little change of attitude. And I guess that makes sense. You got to start breaking some of these teams up, especially after the main event tonight. You have to start breaking some of these teams up because now you got to get some more contenders for the for one of the championships. We'll get into that in a few minutes.
I'm really, really hoping they just do something with him. Last year, I don't know if you remember, they had him beat Roderick Strong.
Yes.
And it looked like they were going to look like it was a big push, and then they did nothing with it. And then a couple months ago, they looked like they were going to do something with it. Now, I'm just hoping that at some point, if they do this with Cedric, I really hope this is the time they finally put the cart behind the horse, because this guy's talented. This guy's one of the better wrestlers out there today.
I totally agree.
He deserves to get a good program to go into.
I'm hoping after tonight's main event that they see that with guys like him and ACH, and you guys made a reference to Kyle O'Reilly. I'm all in. I'm sold with all those guys, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. But speaking of Roddy, Roddy's been on a freaking tear lately.
Oh, yeah.
He between Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and Ring of Honor and a bunch of indies going on, he's been on a roll. He looks good. I like him better as a face. I never liked him as a heel. I thought the face, for him being a face, for me, I don't know why, he just comes off better. So number one contender match with Michael Elgin. Moose with the very delicious Veda Scott. Stokely, I like Veda Scott. I don't know why. I just have a thing for her. Maybe it's the fat
it's
ass.
The glasses and the red hair, and man.
And the fat ass, yeah. I like redheads with the fat asses.
Exactly.
Right. With Moose with Veda and Stokely, and then, of course, Roddy. this was crazy, man. And I think Elgin's getting lost in the shuffle now. I feel like he's not in that upper echelon of contenders anymore. You know, as much as Kevin Kelly hypes him up, I just don't see it. You know what I'm saying?
He's more like on that second tier of level. I feel so bad for Elgin. It's been downhill for him. And I think we said it on the show before, you know, they had the perfect chance to pull the trigger on Elgin at Glory by Honor, I think 2012 it was. He was hot. People were wanting him to win. People wanted to see him win. People wanted to have him get the title. It was like right after he faced Roddy, and they just waited too long. They decided to get the title to Cole, or they decided to get the title to Briscoe, and then Briscoe got hurt, and then you thought he was going to win it, but then by that time, Adam Cole was hot, so they gave the title to Cole. So by the time Elgin won, it was just too late. And then he had the situation with the passport. Is he? Isn't he? Did he get fired? Did he not get fired? And then his reign was really bad. And with Elgin, it's just, like you said, he's lost in the shuffle now. He's at that point. And just to show how much, you know, it could change overnight, Elgin actually is in the same position that Roderick Strong was in probably
last year.
So, yep. I mean, it's something that you can get over. No way, shape, or form is this, you know, a bad thing for him. And, you know, I mean, he can look at Roderick Strong and see that, because Roderick Strong, like you said, last year was just, okay, what can he do next? And now he's probably a contender for the top wrestler on the roster right now. I think he's doing some of the best work of his career, and just out of nowhere, the match with Nakamura, the matches with PWG, like you said, he's just been amazing lately. Roderick Strong's been on fire.
Yeah, and I'm kind of cool that he's back in the fold, because I'm a big Roddy guy, always was.
Mm-hmm.
Moose had a great. I'm not going to go into every move on this match because it was pretty long, but Moose had a nice showing tonight. I know they're really behind him, and I have no issue with that. Him being only a year or two in, I just feel like it's being rushed a little bit. You know,
He looked very timid tonight to me.
He looked off. I mean, I'm not saying he was bad, but you can tell he was a bit intimidated by what was going on.
Yeah. You know, like, he looked like when he was doing, like, the superplex spot.
Yeah.
He looked like he was very scared of Roddy doing that. Like, he was not happy with what was about to go down.
Right.
And he either didn't know how to take it. And I said this to Lee, sitting next to me. I said, for a big guy like that, he has such weak offense. Like, when you get a big guy like that in the ring, it almost looks like he's scared to hurt people. Because he kind of either pulls his punches, or like when he did the swing with Roddy into the barricade, it almost looked like he tapped Roddy. Like, come on, dude, you're 6'5",
right.
200. This guy's tough. He could take it. Swing him as hard as you can, or at least make it look that way. You don't be afraid to get a little love tap in there every once in a while. It's okay. These guys can take it.
Like, he looked so great on TV 2 weeks ago, beating up on Carino's kid. you know, and then, like, all of a sudden, it's almost like, you know, the kid in the pageant who does phenomenal with his friend, and they're practicing, and when it comes to the night of the show, he gets the stage fright. I think Moose had some stage fright tonight, man.
Yeah. He's had a couple hit and miss performances.
Yeah.
Very much so. It's just way too early for him. He's such an impressive figure when you see him, but
yeah, he's a big dude. I saw him in person. He's a big dude. He's great.
Like I said, I mean, just a little bit too early for him right now.
I agree. I totally agree. Elgin at one point gets a really good half Nelson suplex on Roddy, but mm-hmm. of course Moose does the big spear out of nowhere, and the crowd pops like crazy. Strong breaks up the pin. Now this match is like rapid fire, like it's spot at the spot at the spot. Moose pounces Strong, Monty Brown style. Mm-hmm. I know I made a Monty Brown reference. I'm sorry, But I
hey, no, man, love Monty Brown.
Hey, I love Monty Brown. Does the Monty Brown to Roddy sending him outside, and then Moose hits a flying, the flying Moose to the outside. Of course, now back in the ring, Elgin hits a really, really solid back fist, and then a double pop that power bomb he does to Moose, but he doesn't go for the pin, which you know, even my boy Chris was like, you can go for the pin, and I don't know, maybe he missed the spot, I don't know. But then Strong gets Elgin with the sick kick, then the backbreaker, and then he hits Moose with the sick kick for the win. So Roddy again on fire, and then him and Moose shake hands. Vader's not happy. What a big fat ass. She's not happy with that at all.
Looks like she's about to come out of that skirt. Yeah, and the angle after this was really good. With Cedric coming by, I really think that Cedric's going to make Moose better. And I like this feud for him, too, because it kind of shows off some of the stuff he can do. And it's like we talked about on the show. The only thing, I think it's good because, one, it makes Moose a face, a bona fide baby face that you actually have a reason to cheer him and have a reason to feel sorry for him. And they need that now, especially with what happened tonight, as we keep foreshadowing it, but especially what happened tonight. And the fact that Cedric, they finally have a direction with him, especially with Veda, who, like you said, just she reminds you of kind of like a young, sensational Sherry.
Yep.
And just despicable, and she's manipulative, and she knows exactly what she wants, and she's going to go after it. So yep. I'm really, really excited for that pairing also.
So Moose looks like he's going to spear her. And then, of course, like you said, Cedric comes out with the wrench and lays out Moose and Stokely, and then she smiles. Like, she's like, yeah, I'm going to get this piece of chocolate right here. So you know, Veda
definitely was dipping into the Easter basket for a
man,
little bit.
I ain't mad at her, man. Good for her. I can't knock that hustle, man. Good for her. All right, exactly. So your next match. Now, I tell people all the time, when you have gaijin that are over in New Japan, and this has been happening for a long time now, they seldom lose on TV in America. The Japanese frown upon it. They hate it. Especially guys who have championships. They normally never lose on TV. So I told my friend this, because my friend's like, oh, they, you know, Kingdom, they're so hot right now, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, I'm telling you right now, Bullet Club is NWO over right now over there. Mm-hmm. I said, there's no way. So this is one of my favorite matches of the night. Crazy spots. Bullet Club, the team of Young Bucks and AJ Styles against the Kingdom. All the matching uniforms kicked ass tonight. I dug all of that. I'm beginning to Matt Taven's growing on me. I wasn't a big fan of him, but I think he's in a really good spot right now, and I feel like he's in that getting to that upper echelon. You know, he had the TV title, and then he broke off, and then he picked up with this team after Adam Cole got hurt. Him and Bennett took the ball and ran with it. So I feel like Taven for me is the MVP so far at that team, and I think he's going to show big things coming in the upcoming year. Of course, like I said, Bullet Club over like crazy. The shirts, people screaming, chanting. Matt Jackson keeps avoiding moves and throws the suck it until he gets stomped, which was fantastic. Super kick number one on Matt to Bennett. Then the Bullet Club, it's a backbreaker, knee drop combo. It was crazy. Where was I? There we go. I'm turning my page here. Outside, they hit the stereo drop kicks on all the Bullet Club members, which was cool. And then, but the Bullet Club hit stereo suicide dives.
Mm-hmm.
And then AJ gets the springboard, sends Cole outside with the reverse powerbomb to the guardrail on Jackson, and then back inside, Taven scores a flipping neckbreaker and then a lion salt on Matt Jackson tagging in. I'm sitting there, what the hell? I can't keep up with this. I'm half asleep. I've been up since 4:30 this morning. Cole and Styles go at it. Taven eats not one but two super kicks as Bennett gets a tornado DDT on the outside. Bennett has improved, man. Bennett, on a side note, since his program with Kevin Steen about a year or two back, Bennett has been nothing but good for me, man. I'm a big fan of these guys now. So I'm sorry. And then they get a two count, and the Kingdom break it up. Cole comes back, reverses a Styles clash, and then all hell breaks loose. The ref makes no attempt to even... The ref has... He's like, I'm done. Super kicks all around. Four in a row coming from both sides. Cole hits the Destroyer. When he gets up, he's met with not one, but two super kicks, as he's about to say his catchphrase. Takes two to the face. Bullet Club do a double, I guess, what do you call it? Double, I don't know.
Indy Taker?
Yeah, Indy Taker. That's it, yeah. But no pin is attempted. Again, missed the spot. Because he should have been dead at that point.
Yeah.
The deliciousness that is Maria Kanellis gets on the apron, and Styles brings her inside with a Bullet Club destroy her with super kicks. Styles gets Cole with a bucket bomb. I love the bucket bomb, by the way. And then while the Bucks kick him, then scores the Bloody Sunday, which he won the title with, I believe. Did he win the title with his second reign with that? I think he won it. I think so. Yeah, he won the Bloody Sunday for a two count, and then Cole gets up and super kicks everybody. And then they're way over at least 20 or 35 freaking super kicks at this point. But he doesn't. His luck doesn't last very long. Gets another Indy Taker, like you said. And then the Styles Clash, which is still one of my favorite moves ever. I don't care if he injures people with it. Still my favorite move.
Maria even got a super kick in.
I know. It's great. Bullet Club win. Maria's got to be carried back by her hubby.
Mm-hmm.
And again, good stuff, man. Really good stuff.
This match was insane. And I mean, everybody knew this match was going to be insane, but it was still insane. It was amazing. Like, Adam Cole, and if anybody's ever heard our show or anything like that, Adam Cole is 100% my favorite wrestler in Ring of Honor. I get upset when he loses, but the guy has this oozes this superstar quality about him, and it's like you said, the Kingdom right now, insane how good they're becoming and how much they wanted to get behind these guys. I love the matching jackets. I love the pomp and circumstance. It's just the thing with that, and like I said on the pre-show, the only issue I have is with AJ, you're in such a bad situation. He's so over, and he's probably one of the top five, definitely top five, maybe even top three, if not the most popular guy in Ring of Honor. And he's a guy who you can't have lose because of the title that he holds, but you can't make him a full-time performer to bring him in every week. So they're in such a bad position with him, but they can't not have him because he's so good.
And he draws.
And he draws. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, the Bullet Club and everything like that, you can count. I mean, you go to the shows, you just saw tonight, there were Bullet Club shirts everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's so good, but at the same time, you can't. I can honestly see these two teams, the Bullet Club and the Kingdom. I would love to see a rivalry start from them, definitely. And the only thing I want to see Adam Cole pin AJ Styles, even though I won't see it because it's a problem because of the title that AJ Styles has. But this match, I mean, these guys always just deliver one way or another. Just the Young Bucks and everything, and Cole. That sequence with Adam Cole was probably the I'm back sequence from Adam Cole because, man, he's just so great. He's so good. And
he is.
Like you said, Bennett's just been improving, you know, over and over again. Matt Taven is kind of weird because with Matt Taven, with here down in Baltimore, when they used to do shows, the weekly shows or the monthly shows in Baltimore for the TV tapings, Taven faced Mike Mondo. The former Spirit Squad member.
Yeah, and Mike Mondo's Mondo's a friend of ours, yeah.
Yeah, and we used to call him Paulie Shore.
Yeah.
When he came out because of his hair and everything like that. And he had a hardcore match with Mondo that got them both over with the crowd. So,
yeah.
Taven's been really, been doing really well. But, yeah, I mean, for me, this was probably the best or second best match of the night to me. Matters on how you feel about the main event. I personally think it was not as good as the main event. I'm going to give it second best
Yeah, this is definitely my second favorite. Definitely my second favorite match tonight. And I thought, because my partner in crime, the Mega Powers, he would give me shit because I've been on a Red Dragon kick the last year. And
oh, you said Pootie on his call.
Yeah.
my partner in crime does the same thing.
So I told Mega Powers, I'm like, they're going to break up the Red Dragon eventually. And he's like, oh. Because they had a nice thing going with the Hooligans. And when the Hooligans came to last August they came, they fought before they broke the team up, they came to Ring of Honor and they fought They fought Eddie Kingston and Homicide.
Mm-hmm.
And Red Dragon were on the same card, and I'm like, you know what? These two teams, man, I mean, even though the Briscoes aren't a full time team right now, these are my two top teams right now on the planet. And of course, now they break up fucking the Hooligans because Kozlov gets hurt. But now, you know, the Dragon, and you guys were like, you were spot on tonight by saying with Kyle O'Reilly. I'm like, you know what? Kyle O'Reilly is the younger statesman of the group, of the team. I think Kyle O'Reilly has, I'm not saying he's better than Bobby Fish, but he, again, because of tonight's main event, he's another guy you can throw in there with the Alexanders and the ACHs and the Mooses, and now you have something to look forward to. Now I think he's in that mold. You don't have to break him up right away, but I mean, you could definitely see him in a singles role.
I think Kyle O'Reilly actually, to me, is that prototypical guy who, when Future Shock broke up, when him and Adam Cole broke up, and one of the things I love about Adam Cole, I always say this, Adam Cole has this look about him that if you were to build a WWE wrestler and what he would look like, it would look like Adam Cole.
Yeah.
He looks like wrestler guy. Like, he looks like I'm a champion. He reminds me so much of Shawn Michaels.
Totally agree.
And Michael's much better worker. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that for anybody who gets offended. But the thing is that but Adam Cole looks like him. And Kyle O'Reilly was always that guy, like, he looked kind of awkward. He sounds kind of awkward in his promos. They sound really forced. But his in-ring work has just been great and been amazing. And it almost, you feel bad for Bobby Fish because Bobby Fish is so good.
Yeah.
But you got to think that at some point, Kyle has to leave.
Yeah.
Like, it's now at the point where it's like, I love Red Dragon, but now I really want to see Kyle do it on his own. Mm. And I'm happy they didn't win tonight just for that reason. I want to see Kyle move on.
If they can, if they can give him a mouthpiece, you know, if they break them up, they can give him a mouthpiece. Even if he goes over as a heel, I mean, he's a prototypical face though. He looks like a face wrestler.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I mean, he's a good face wrestler too. I think now that Davey Richards left, and he's gotten that Davey Richards.
Yep.
Now off of him, that he's now fans will take him as a face.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and of course, the Addiction now defending the titles tonight against Red Dragon, and I mean, I can't tell you how much love I have for Kazarian and Chris Daniel and Christopher Daniels. Just Christopher Daniels, ageless, you know, and Kaz never got that push he ever deserved, and then once he hooked up with Chris Daniels, I think he found his niche. They put on a good show tonight. It was a good match, you know. I don't think it was Red Dragon's one of their best matches. And I think I lost my buddy here. Let me try to get him back. There he is. Yeah, I think I lost you there for a second.
Sorry about that. No problem.
And I know my buddy Shane was trying to call in, but we're not taking calls tonight. I just, you know, and don't worry about it. I'll talk to him later about it. But anyway, again, it was a good match. I don't think it was one of Red Dragon's better matches. I thought it was okay. Everybody got their stuff off. I'm not going to go into the entire match, but at one point, O'Reilly manages to fight out of a suplex, gets the triangle. We went for the best moonsault ever. He attempted it, and then he got into. That was great.
That was vicious, man.
But more vicious than that was that friggin' chair shot that he got hit with immediately after that. My wife was dozing off on the couch. That chair shot woke her up. She was like, "What happened?" I'm like, "That's not me. I didn't do it. I did look at the TV, you know." No shit. So, Kaz breaks up with the chair shot before kicking Fish in the face as he's all taped up now. At that point, they taped him up to nobody can get scissors to cut him down. The Addiction put O'Reilly through a barricade. They set a barricade tape. They put a barricade. They made a tape. They made a table out of a barricade, out of a Ring of Honor barricade, sure, with two chairs. Then Fish finally breaks free, breaks up a pinfall. All hell breaks loose. Bobby Fish then gets the Falcon Arrow on him. I think that's what they call it. It hits that and goes into a knee bar. Then the Fish Hook. I love the Fish Hook. But then it gets broken up. He adds the punishment. Then he hits Kaz by scoring the Exploder Suplex onto the ladder, which was a great spot. Again, Kyle hits the Falcon Arrow from the top rope. Following the Chasing the Dragon, they have the win, but friggin' Chris Sabin again. Sabin comes out, pulls a ref. Remember, there's no DQ. And then the Addiction get the celebrity rehab on Fish after the low blow, and the Addiction.
I do want to ask you, what did you think of them coming out in those outfits, the Addiction?
Oh, you mean with the Venom with the Venom stuff? You know, I'm a fanboy. I know Lee told you I'm a fanboy. I'm all that about that.
And the gloves, the white gloves.
Yeah.
Those guys, man.
And then Kaz with the friggin' rocker vest with all the metal patches on it and shit. I was like, that's pretty cool. That's totally 80s right there, man. That's all. They used to have dudes in my old neighborhood. We used to call them the Woodies. And they used to, like,
I said it before on our show. I'll say it here, man. The Addiction, I understand that people, like, look at them. And I feel like I'm the only person who... When they came in, I was very lukewarm. I'm like, oh, they're TNA guys. People don't understand how old Christopher Daniels is, because Aries never was a Ring of Honor guy. He was always a Ring of Honor type guy who happened to be in TNA. And I turned 180 on them. I love the Addiction. I'm such a huge fan of that tag team.
You know what sold me? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You know what sold me on them, and I was kind of lukewarm too? We get along well, actually. But you know, what sold me on them was the vignettes. When Daniels had the package delivered to the house and it was Kaz in the big box, and I was like, this is totally like Junkyard Dog type shit from the 80s. You know, when Hogan needed a tag partner or whatever, he'd bring the big box out and tell Mean Gene, like, I got a present for everybody. It'd be like the Junkyard Dog with a big chain. Come out and slap King Kong Bundy in the face with it, and I'd go crazy like you know, the 8-year-old that I was. But
that's old school, man. And like, the thing is, that's what I think Ring of Honor does for a lot of. I think I talk to Lee about it a lot of times. I think that's what Ring of Honor does for a lot of us fans who were big fans of the 80s and 90s. Like, Jim Cornette does say it best. Like, wrestling is very simple. And I think sometimes, you know, I listen to some of our, we have Doomsday, who's actually a newer fan and everything. I tell them, like, look, man, some of this stuff is just, it seems hokey, but it works. It works on so many levels. You get the... You know, you see, when these guys come out and they're wearing, like you said, the Venom stuff and just a little, you know, here and there's, and they're so, to me, I know this word's blasphemy, especially Ring of Honor, they're so entertaining that, you know, it makes them really fun to watch. And they're good wrestlers, too. That does make a difference as well. They're really good in the ring.
I tell this to Rage because he's also a younger fan, and, you know, and I think he appreciates the contrast of interest that we have with the group and the bunch of shows that we do on the rant. And I told him, the first time I met him, I met him in Brooklyn last year. We were hanging out, like we had dinner. We hung out in Coney Island and gave him a little tour of Brooklyn. And I said to him, I'm like, dude, you're a younger fan. Every time we tell you to do homework, do your homework. If I tell you to watch something, you watch it. And I tell you why. I said, because I want you to put yourself in a position where you're not reading any dirt sheets, you're not caring who's going to be on backstage at Raw, or you don't care about SmackDown spoilers. Try to suspend your disbelief. Kayfabe has been dead for at least a decade. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I feel like the younger fans will never truly appreciate what was set before them. You know, and I sound like the old man on the bench. Oh, when I was your age, you know.
Yeah.
Right, but you know what, though? When I was your age, shit was cool because I didn't have the internet. And if I did, it took me 20 minutes to get into it, you know? So you're like, you have to just suspend your disbelief, and I think you'll enjoy the product, even if it's not that good. If you suspend your disbelief, and you like, my kid is 8 years old, and he's smart because he hangs out with me, of course, right?
Right.
But the kid knows. I'll tell him, don't look at your tablet. Don't listen to what you, because like his dad's into it too, so his dad will give him spoilers. And I call his dad. I'm like, don't give him any fucking spoilers, dude. Let him enjoy it. Let him enjoy it. Let him suspend his disbelief, because you know what? It's stuff like what the addiction's doing is classic. With the Briscoes cut those promos, it's classic. Like, it's, you know, them in the backyard chasing chickens and yelling and screaming at people. That's classic.
Right.
The addiction habit, they know it and they sell it. And I think Chris Daniels and Kazarian compensate each other, and they're teaching the younger kids how to do it. So,
yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the thing is, I'll be right there with you at that old man on the porch. I mean, the thing is, one of the things that bothers me is not even that, but it's the thing where, like I said earlier, there's a lot of stuff that it feels like a lot of newer fans sometimes, they get told this is what you're supposed to like. You're supposed to like this style of wrestling. These are the guys who are good. These are the guys who you enjoy. These are the guys who are not good. These are the guys who shouldn't enjoy. And like you said, I mean, it comes down to just you've got to be able to kind of make for yourself those decisions, because, like I said, I was a person who totally flipped on a lot of these guys, the addiction, Matt Sydal, who I actually – on our show ripped one day and said that he's not as good as he used to be, and he's been amazing lately. So, I mean, there's a lot of things where you can, if you make these opinions for yourself and you stop reading dirt sheets and you stop reading spoiler alerts and star ratings and, you know, all this other stuff, sometimes stuff is just good. And like I said, I'll say it here, I'm not the biggest Shinsuke Nakamura fan. I prefer Okada. But
yeah.
I can respect the people who do like Nakamura more. But the thing is that to me, I made that decision myself. I didn't, you know, get told that, hey, that's the biggest star and everything like that.
Yeah.
And that makes it a lot more enjoyable for me.
See,
so,
I'm more of a Naito Tanahashi guy. But in the same breath, I respect Nakamura and Okada. It's the same way. But like, you know, and I think just these guys now, even guys that are coming back into the fold, you have to know that the older guys are bringing out the best in guys like Sydal and now even Roderick Strong. I think because it's a friendly competition. At the end of the day, they're still performers. You know what I'm saying? I think kids forget that too. They want to get themselves over on TV with the chant and everything after 10 minutes now. I don't know if you listen to my show, but I hate the fact that everything after 10 minutes, it's this is awesome. This is awesome. Anything that goes over 10
we've
minutes.
We've met that guy. That guy who starts the chant. We've met that guy. We talked about him on our show.
Man, that aggravates the shit out of me, man. It doesn't have. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad, but not every match that goes more than 10 minutes is fucking awesome.
Actually started because we do the tape. We have been some of the tapings down here, and it's a guy. In a way, we kind
of
think he tries to get himself over,
of
and it bothers us.
Yeah,
but he will chant, "This is awesome," and you know how we have the dueling chants. Sometimes he'll chant, "This is awesome," and we will chant back 3-star match or 2-star match or anything.
And you know what? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Not everything, every huge spot is awesome. It's a story. Let the story play out, you know, at the end of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? The smarter crowds get it. You guys have had amazing stuff come through there. You know what I'm saying? I think this goes back to the territory days, too. You know, your part of the world is you guys still have smart wrestling fans. And if you pull that shit in spots like there or New York or Philly or Boston, they're gonna eat you alive, you know.
Oh, so, they tried to chant "This is wrestling" at Philly at the New Japan show. That poor guy.
Yeah.
poor guy.
That poor guy makes he drives from like fucking probably New Hampshire or something, and Philly fans are the worst, dude. I mean, Phillies and those sports teams are the shits. So now you put those guys in a wrestling match. You put those fans. I mean, they're passionate. God bless them. But, dude, I can't stand those people, man. And I love their town. I love their food. I love wrestling, but, like, they're fans of the shits. But if you walk in there and you try to fake the funk, they're going to come correct at you, man. You can't do stuff like that, you know? So, now we come to the Battle of the Belts, the main event of the evening. Probably the biggest main event they've had in the last 2 or 3 years at this point. The Ring of Honor World Championship and World Television Championship being defended. Champion Jay Briscoe taking on Television Champion Jay Lethal with the House of Truth. I love the House of Truth, by the way. There's nothing wrong with the House. It reminds me of like the old stud stable. Reminds me of Paul Jones and the family. Just like that has that Mid-Atlantic feel to it. I love it. You know, so now right even beginning of the match, D-Jack makes a move towards the ring and the ref kicks him. And then Diesel out making the crowd explode. Diesel takes a page out of Larry Z's playbook and stalls for like 7 minutes and before locking up a Briscoe. Eats that shoulder block for his troubles. Rolls back outside, talks with Truth Martini. They lock up again. Then there's a drop toe hold. Fireman's carry slam. Back and forth. Now, what was cool was they had both Lethal's family and Jay Briscoe's family in the audience.
Yeah.
Which I love when they bring the family element in it, and it's all like people that they're related to, and it's all real and shit, and there's a lot of passion in it. You can see his mom with the new weave, and she's all bugging out, and then you see Mama Briscoe with the three teeth, and she's all happy. You know, so it's like moms are all dead dressed out in their son's garb, which I thought was fantastic. It's like bringing, you know, when your kid gets a little CYO, little league game, and all the parents wearing the same gear. It's kind of corny, but yep. in the same breath, if you have a kid, you know what I'm talking about, you know? So the families are in it. Lethal gets the suplex attempt on the floor, gets set up a knife edge, chops on him a few times. They go back out. They go back outside a few times. And then at one point, Briscoe gets the suicide dive. Truth Martini goes to trip up Briscoe, allowing Lethal to take him down. Lethal gets the actual advantage. They go shot to shot. Now, Jay goes for the Jay driller, but Lethal turns it into a Lethal combination and a near fall. 20 near falls in this match was crazy. Yeah. If you want to add something, dude, just cut me off. You know?
You're good. You're good. Keep going.
All right. So Briscoe ends up putting Lethal on the top rope where he hits the superplex. He gets knocked over. Lethal gets the Hail to the King. I think that's what they call it. And then transitions it to the Koji Clutch. And Briscoe fights out of it on the apron. Martini again distracts the ref. Lethal hits the low blow. Nigel McGuinness puts down the headset, who was at ringside with the King and Kelly. And then kicks Truth Martini out, Gorilla Monsoon style. Briscoe, exactly. It's exactly what he did when Gorilla Monsoon was the president. On the take, Tony wasn't doing that shit. If you ask Tony, see, he'll tell you about on the take, Tony. Jay Briscoe absolutely kills Jay Lethal with it. He should have pinned him. With this, he did a J-driller through the friggin' table off the apron. Off the apron. It was one of the best spots I've ever seen. And Jay Lethal should have been dead. He should have been concussed.
He hit it so clean.
Dude,
he hit it perfectly.
One of my best friends is with my buddy Chris. And he just sat up on the couch. And I pop, of course, like a 10-year-old. But he just sat up, looked at me, and said, "That he's dead." I'm like, yeah, he's dead, but he's not gonna die. He will not die. This is his night. So both men make it back into the ring. I don't know how Lethal does. Lethal gets a super kick, but gets dropped on his head again. Briscoe takes him down this lariat. Let me tell you something. This would make Bruiser Brody clap. You know, this would make Stan Hansen clap. JBL. That's how great that lariat was. One of the best clotheslines I've seen in the last decade.
Brought it from on high. He met that.
Yeah. And then Lethal hits the Lethal Injection, gets a 2.9 friggin' 9.5. Again, another The place goes crazy. Kevin Kelly screams out, "I'm losing my mind." I don't think it was Kevin Kelly. I think it was Carino that yelled out, "I'm losing my mind." And then Lethal hits the J-Driller into the Lethal Injection and gets the win. Ladies and gentlemen, your winner and new Ring of Honor World Heavyweight and Television Champion, Jay Lethal.
That was crazy. I think the thing that got me the most was you actually, for the first time, we saw the stolen finisher spot lead to a finish. And I think that is, I think that's very, very, very different. I think that was really awesome. This match was amazing. Best match on the card. Completely blew my expectations out the water of everything. Not that I thought it would be a good match, but I just didn't think it would be that good.
I'm going to tell you.
And
yeah.
they were beating the crap out of each other, and it made for a good moment. And you know what? The thing we talked about, Roderick Strong, Jay Lethal, especially when he won the title at Supercard of Honor last year, I know on our show, I was livid that I had to go through another Jay Lethal title reign, and I was like, this isn't worth it. This guy, they put him with Truth Martini. It's not going to work. I don't understand why they're doing this. There's guys they could bring up that are going to be better. You know, why don't they do this? And here I am with complete egg on my face, you know, just eating a whole bowl of crow because this guy deserved it. They built him up the right way. They were consistent with him. And he just put in match after match after promo. And I'm really happy. I'm actually kind of interested to see what they do with the titles tomorrow. I'm not a fan of the double champion.
No,
but
they're going to take that belt's going into a tournament. There's no way he's holding both belts.
Yeah. I think the funny thing is, one thing I want to see about it is that which title does he put to the tournament? Because he's the same TV title means more than a world title. So kind of interesting to see how that dynamic works too with it. So yeah. I'm really excited to see what happens tomorrow night at the TV taping with them. I think that excitement of the new champion thing comes off, but very much so, just of how they built Jay Lethal. And honestly, I think with Jay Briscoe, they handled his loss perfectly. It took everything. Basically, the most they could do was, you know, Jay Lethal had to take out a Mack truck and run him over with it just to get the pin.
Pretty much,
and
or shoot
him. Yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
I'm actually really excited to see what they do with these guys tomorrow.
Lethal has tears in his eyes. Mom and Dad with the new weave got tears in their eyes. The crowd totally pops. Him and Briscoe shake hands, and then the crowd chants, "You deserve it, you deserve it."
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this about Jay Lethal. And there's been an ongoing, I don't know if you listen to the Wrestling Call-In Show at all on Saturdays. Cheap plug, by the way, for the rant. But Will Morgan and his crew, they always come back to a conversation about putting brothers in the spotlight. Now, you talk about,
right.
this is a fat white kid from Brooklyn, grew up in North Brooklyn, and who didn't have white friends until high school, okay? So I know the dynamic of where they're coming from in terms of why didn't they put this brother over, why didn't they put that brother over. And I called in one night and I flipped out. I said, you guys are playing a race card where you can't tell me that if you're a promoter, give me a brother in the last 10 years that you're going to put your money on the belt. When I mean the money, I mean the belt, the merch, TV.
Mm-hmm.
What are you putting behind that? And the only guy that I can come up with in the last decade was Jay Lethal. And and he's not the biggest. He's definitely not the smallest, but he's almost a complete package. And I say almost because the guy can cut a promo. He was funny at one point. He did the Flair thing and the Macho Man thing. But he's sound in the ring. He sells it. He's world champion material, you know, and he's earned a spot, whether he's black, yellow, green, fucking polka dots, doesn't matter. You know, you want to put a brother in the spotlight, there's your brother. And they have other guys, I don't know if they're world champion worthy, but you guys, you have the ACHs of the world, and the Cedrics and the Caprices and you know, Shelton Benjamin should be in the States again, but that's another podcast. I'm not even going to get into that. But you want to put the belt on a dude like that, that's where you go. The guy who's been hustling his ass off for the past 15, 16 years. And that's where I like it. You know, so now come Saturday when this conversation comes up again, I hope I get to call in and yell at them and go, there's your brother. There's the guy.
Yeah.
There's the guy that's going to that just took the face of the best indie company on the planet, and now he's the face of the company. And he's gone. Yeah.
Go, finish up.
Oh, no, and he's gone the distance in terms of stuff that he's done. You know, and like you mentioned, oh, they put him with Truth Martini, and oh, they're going to ruin this guy, and another title reign, and nothing's going to happen. It's disappointing, and it's frustrating, but tonight, I got my $45 worth, dude. I got my it blew my mind that it took, again, with the spots, I get it, that's what Ring of Honor does, but this, they told a story in the ring, and if you listen to my show, I tell people that. I don't care if the program only ran 3 weeks with two guys, or two girls, or whoever it is. If you tell me a good story in the ring, I'll forgive it. Just don't blow smoke up my ass and tell me the chimney. You know what I'm saying? That's where I lack, and I get disappointed as a wrestling fan, where my glass is always half empty and never half full. And I'm the most pessimistic bitch because I'm an old man now. You know what I'm saying? So this tonight set me straight. If I'm a promoter and I want to do the Bill Watts thing with Ron Simmons, he's my Ron Simmons. That's my Ron Simmons. Because I could put the belt on this guy, and he's a voice of the people, of his neighborhood, of the indie circuit, and all the guys that are under 250 pounds that thought they couldn't do anything. He's the guy.
We have it's a very, very good story, especially considering how far Jay Lethal has come just in Ring of Honor also. I mean, being one of the guys who, I mean, his original gimmick was he was part of the group called Special K.
Yeah.
And they were basically just guys who, they were drug users. You know what I mean? They were druggies who happened to be wrestlers and everything. And he was the one guy everybody said, this guy's a champion, this guy's a future champion. And to see him take it, it's like you said, I mean, the thing is that, and you know, I say on our show, one of the knocks I make on Hideo Itami, and I'm sure that people grief over and disagree with me on, is, you know, it's one thing to get over in Philly, in New York, and Chicago, those big cities. I always find it harder to get over to that guy sitting on his couch
in Nebraska,
in St. Louis, Missouri, in Nebraska, yeah.
Right.
Who you don't really have, he doesn't care about his wrestling. Like, he cares about, he just wants to sit down and forget life for a little bit, you know, that's all he wants to do. And Jay Lethal has just built himself up where, I mean, we respect him as a face in Ring of Honor, but he's just been such a great heel and such a great, great, great wrestler, and just on the stick, just has been wonderful. And it's just one of those things, like, you know, he does deserve this, and he's been amazing. And like I said, I think that you revitalize. Now, I don't know how long they're going to have him keep the belt. I don't see a long reign for him, maybe eight months or so, which in Ring of Honor is actually a very short time frame.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, right now the possibilities are endless. You can, Kyle O'Reilly made him tap out. You can always go back to that. You have Adam Cole still technically chasing the title. Roderick Strong obviously
Matt
get the match.
Matt Taven. And, in a program we had with Matt Taven last year. You know what I'm saying? Like,
program we had with Matt Taven. Exactly. AJ Styles is still technically sitting in the wings. You know, like, he's made ventures to say that he wanted to get a title shot. We're just trying to figure out, I guess they're just trying to figure out when and see what he's doing with Jarrett's company. But I mean, there's so many guys that just, the possibilities are endless. He opens up so much now because of guys that not only that he's beaten, but now you can finally see that, hey, he actually is now in the world title bracket, and these guys are going to come after him because even harder. He's never beaten Hansen. Hansen's the guy who can get a title shot. So there's a lot of guys out there for him to face. So I'm kind of excited. I'm also really excited to see what they do with Jay Briscoe, because Briscoe, I don't think the law hurts him. And I do want to see Briscoe come back and get his rematch and, you know, try to fight for his title again. I hope he doesn't get it back, but I'm really excited to see what they do with him next soon and see where they put him back. And I'm hoping that they don't push him right back into the tag team. I hope they keep him as a single star for a long time.
So you're the Booker Manny group, right? Is that what I heard before today?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So let me ask you something. You're a promoter now, right? You're the Booker man. Are you booking him as a champion? Would you be happy with him with a nice 8-10 month run with a belt?
Jay Lethal?
Yeah.
If I'm booking Jay Lethal, I'm booking him as an 8-10 month run. I think, honestly, the only guy I could see, unless I'm building him up, the two guys I can see beating him for the title are AJ Styles and Kyle O'Reilly. Even then with O'Reilly, it's kind of slowed down. I kind of want to get him a TV title first and see if he can handle that. But yeah, I think 8 to 10 months puts us in about February, the anniversary show. I think that's pretty good if you want to do a closer reign. Realistically speaking, my eye on the prize is AJ Styles. That's the guy who I want to get, but it really comes down. I'm building Kyle O'Reilly to me. 8 to 10 months to me is perfect for Jay Lethal. I just, at that point in time, he would have held a title in Ring of Honor for close to 600 days. That's the Mojo territory. So yeah. I could see him kind of sort of, unless you really want to get traction out of this. I think the one thing that people, and I mean, the problem is that they have the Kingdom, so they can't really do this. But I almost want to see them set up a four horseman style. They have this strong champion, and you have these two youngsters and Jay Diesel and Donovan Dijak, and they're doing whatever they can with Truth Martini to keep this belt in house.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm hoping that they do it that way. He just, you know, and I want to see him kind of do heel things. Like, I kind of want to see him do, you know, things like he'll keep the TV title until he deems a worthy challenger to face him for it or something like that, you know. I know the tournament idea is what everybody's expecting. I would like to see him kind of put a curveball on that just to kind of, you know, reinvent himself as a heel. But to answer your question in a long-winded way, absolutely. I give Jay Lethal an 8 to 10 month reign, 10 months at the most. That would put us right around, like I said, that'll put us around April or so, Supercard of Honor.
Yep.
I think that's perfect timing. That's 2 years that he's been undefeated. I think that's how people get burnt out seeing the same guy win over and over and over again, especially in Ring of Honor where they win clean. There's not a lot of interference in matches and stuff like that.
The only problem I would have with him keeping the TV title is I think if he keeps the TV title while he's world champion and he gets pinned, mm-hmm. if he gets pinned, like, clean, I think it takes away from the world title. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it almost gives it a discredit, if that makes any sense.
No, I mean, I would have him do it tomorrow. I would have Nigel overrun that and be like, look, man, you can't have both belts, you know?
Right, exactly.
Like, you know, I would love for him to come out and say, look, you know, with the world title around his waist, the CD title on his shoulder, and say, I'm keeping both belts, and Nigel going, look, pick one. You can't
Absolutely.
Be a double champion.
Absolutely.
Can't have you do it. Can't wrestle twice a night.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, and maybe him go through, I mean, even if he went through Death Before Dishonor, but I think that would be a nice heel move for him. And, you know, and did Nigel say, look, we're going to have a tournament. You're going to get the title up. And, you know, and basically have him do it that way. And I still think that group, in the TV tournament, I said the perfect TV champion to me was Roderick Strong. I think that that's the best wrestler you have. That's the guy who I want to see as TV champion. And I would love to see Roderick Strong win the television title. However, if they do the tournament, I think they're going to do this tournament. And it's going to culminate at Death Before Dishonor, which means that Roderick Strong's already wrestling. But Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, those are two guys to me that make the most sense as TV champion. Cedric, I think, is a little bit more down the line. Seidel and ACH, I'm with you. ACH to me is the best high flyer in wrestling today. And him and Seidel to me are awesome. I would love to see them with the versus the Addiction. So, you know, I'm hoping that tomorrow night he kind of gives us the swerve. You know, he's like, look, I'm not giving up my title, but Nigel comes out and says, well, you got to give it up.
Yeah,
so that's how I hope they do it, as opposed to him being like, I relinquish it. You know?
It's going to be a great summer, and now that the contenders are lined up and they're on this tour and they come back to New York after tomorrow too, it's going to be a great summer. It's going to be a great rest of the year for Ring of Honor. And I think even though it's the year is half done already, I think this sets the tone for the rest of the year. This tonight, I think, will be, you know, the stepping, this is going to have, they're going to have to step the game up to
absolutely.
You know, then.
I kind of hope that one of the New Japan guys gets the title shot. I really hope Okada or Nakamura gets a legitimate world title shot.
I have no problem with that.
I
have no problem with that. I really don't. It just makes perfect sense. They always get title shots over there, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm kind of worried, and you know, I know that it's not a popular idea, but I would love to. I wanted to see in Philly. I was actually hoping to see Nakamura versus Lethal, and my logic behind that was this is just get Nakamura, who built the number two title in Japan, as high as the world title versus the guy who took the number two title in his company and built it as high as the world title, and those two facing off. I would think that's great. Now, whether Jado and Gato agree with me, I don't know. But
Gato's the best hype man in wrestling.
Yeah, I would love to see. I'm really hoping. I mean, he has run strong. I mean, I'm really what I'm hoping is that they take this time to build a lot more faces. From this, they finally have a champion who's a heel champion for the first time in pretty much a couple of years. Cole really wasn't, because they had Michael Elgin, who was a face. But for the first time in about a year, they have a real heel champion. I want to see them actually do something with this and start building those faces, because that heel roster is stacked, but they don't really have a lot of faces.
Well, it's been a fun night. It's been a long night. I'm about to call it a night. I apologize to everybody trying to call in. We weren't taking calls tonight. I just wanted to just get this out of the way and do the network a favor, because it's Ring of Honor is becoming more popular with the shows. It's outside of me and Lee. Now it's you guys and a couple of the listeners of our shows are Ring of Honor guys. We just put some guys onto Ring of Honor. So, I mean, it's getting bigger, and I hope we can do more of this stuff down the line. I think the next pay-per-view they're going to be doing is December. Well, then they have the. I don't order the pay-per-views because they're terrible.
They're awful.
Yes, I just wait till the downloads come out or whatever. But I definitely get that pay-per-view. So the next one will probably be Final Battle, I think, for them in terms of pay-per-view. But dude, really, thanks for staying up and thanks for coming on with me. I really appreciate it.
No worries, my friend. It's a pleasure here. Can I plug my show?
Of course, every Thursday night.
Every Thursday night, 9 p.m., Rant and Wrestling. And actually, just so anybody out there, I do want to mention this. I mentioned this on the pre-show. Definitely download this episode. We did a special episode this week because of Ring of Honor's pay-per-view and how big it's been getting. We actually played this before the Destination America announcement. I ran down 10 moments in Ring of Honor history that really defined Ring of Honor. Everything from the Rob Feinstein incident to CM Punk Summer of Punk, and we just talk about it for 3 hours. And it's an episode I'm personally very proud of, and one that if you're interested in getting into Ring of Honor, we talk about some of the best matches on there. We talk about some of the things that you need to know about.
Yeah, it's a good listen.
Definitely listen to it.
It's a good listen.
Yeah, definitely listen to it. It's very, very good. And just, you know, if you're looking for an alternative, there's a reason why we love it so much. So,
yeah.
Thank you so much. And you can, of course, listen to me, Mofo Magic, and the boys. We come every Thursday night, and we will be live also on Rant EM Radio this week on June 25th.
Oh, you're doing another live show. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, special. Beautiful. We will be taking calls, too.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I listen on my commute on the way home, so at night. But I definitely listen every Thursday night on the way home. So definitely, guys, check that out every Thursday, 9 p.m., Rant and Wrestling. Only on Rant EM Radio. And that's pretty much it. I'll close the show and let you go. Have a great night, and I'll hopefully we do this again soon.
Thank you so much. Impact player Phil Rhea.
Yes,
nice
sir.
Nice to meet you, my friend.
Likewise. Give all the boys my best, and I'll talk to you guys soon. All right. Thank you very much, Mofo. Mofo Magic from Rant and Wrestling every Thursday night. Like you said, at 9 o'clock. Good stuff, man. Again, guys, I'm sorry I didn't take any calls. We just weren't taking any calls tonight. Just wanted to get out of the way for the network. But I want to thank my boy Chris Espo for coming out tonight. I want to thank the Rant for having me on. And this is going to be it, man. I'm going to bed. Well, I've been up for like 22 hours at this point. I'm fucking exhausted. So for Mofo, for Rant and Wrestling, for Rant EM Radio, for Chris Espo, I'm your host tonight, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray, bidding you adieu. Have a great weekend. If you're a dad, enjoy your dad's day. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your family. Count your blessings. One day at a time. All right. And that's pretty much it. Congrats to Jay Lethal, man. You definitely deserved it. Great card tonight. Ring of Honor came correct. Got to catch it on a download. Catch it on a replay. So worth it, man. That main event killed it. I'm done. Put a fork in me. Fatty is going to bed. Good night, kids.